This is Ahval Online, meeting point of accurate news and free comment on the current affairs of Turkey. Welcome to our podcast series.
Hello and welcome to Talking Turkey. I'm your host, Ahval editor David Lepeska, and with me today is Dr. Tuba Tanyeri Erdemir, research associate at the University of Pittsburgh's Department of Anthropology. Hello, Tuba, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for your invitation to join you.
You are welcome. We are speaking on Wednesday, the 1st of July, and the day before Turkey's Council of State is to decide whether Istanbul's famed Hagia Sophia should be reconverted into a mosque. This is a subject on which listeners need to know a bit of history to understand the context. So please let me take a minute to wade into that. When it was first built in 537 AD by Byzantine Emperor Justinian as a cathedral, Hagia Sophia was the largest building in the world and an engineering marvel that became known for its power to convert worshippers to Orthodox Christianity. After Ottoman Sultan Mehmet conquered the city in 1453, one of the first things he did was convert Hagia Sophia into a mosque. And finally, about a decade after Mustafa Kemal Atatürk founded the purportedly secular Turkish Republic in 1923, he turned Hagia Sophia into a museum, which it has remained. It has since been named a UNESCO Heritage Site and become one of Turkey's top tourist attractions. It has also become something of a talisman for Turkish Islamists who believe it must be converted back to a mosque for Turkey to take its rightful place in the world, which brings us back to today and the efforts of President Erdogan's Justice and Development Party, or AKP, which is seen by many as an Islamist party. Tuba, you have been studying this issue for years, more than a decade, I believe, and I believe you're currently writing a book about it, actually. You recently wrote an op-ed for the Greek news outlet Kati Marini, pointing out that many who call for Hagia Sophia to be reconverted into a mosque believe that all the hardships Turkey is facing, such as its deep economic crisis, are caused by its status as a museum. So I guess then it sounds like there's really a lot riding on this decision tomorrow.
There is, indeed. The sentiment to convert Hagia Sophia back into a mosque is deeply ingrained in certain parts of Turkish society, but certainly not all. But there are people who believe that the deed, the foundation deed established by Mehmet II, the Sultan who conquered Istanbul and converted Hagia Sophia, actually is a deed that defines certain things in Turkish society. Can I retake this? Let me rephrase that. When Sultan Mehmet II conquered Istanbul and converted Hagia Sophia, he established a foundation deed. Some in Turkish society believe that Atatürk, by converting Hagia Sophia into a museum and not keeping it as a functioning mosque, actually rebuked that deed, and that they believe there are consequences to this, and they do believe that there are certain issues that are caused by this conversion.
What, if I might ask, what is said in that deed? What does it deem?
It is actually a very long document. Uh-huh. One part of it states that whoever uses Hagia Sophia for other purposes than I write here should be damned.
The book that you're working on is the product of more than a decade of research, and you've examined how successive regimes have used Hagia Sophia as a symbol of control and dominance. I read these couple of sentences in a 2014 profile of you and your work. I should mention that these words are not yours, but it said, it could be said that the future of the Hagia Sophia is the future of Turkey. No physical structure embodies Turkey's increasingly fractured society more boldly than the iconic domed edifice. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I did notice that physically it's in Europe because it sits on the European side of Istanbul, yet because of its minarets, and because of Fatih Sultan Mehmet, at least in the West, it's seen as a symbol of the East, of Islam. Also, its status could either be a nod to Ataturk's secular vision or to the more Islamist state envisioned by Erdogan and his backers. I wonder, what are your thoughts on whether Hagia Sophia is sort of a microcosm of Turkey and its fractured society? And also, what has been the impact of it serving as a museum for all these decades?
Absolutely. It's kind of like a symbol of the multifaceted society that we have in Turkey at the moment. On the one hand, it is kind of like a beacon of secularism and unity. On the other hand, it's a very strong symbol for ultranationalists and as well as Islamists, going back to symbolizing what Sultan Mehmed's conquest was, and how that conquest actually is kind of like an idea of domination, not only of Turkey over the rest of the world, but also Islam over all other religions. At the same time, we should not forget that this monument served for almost 1,000 years as the most sacred cathedral of Orthodox Christianity. So, and the seat of the Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch is still in Istanbul. So there is a lot of emotional connection to the monument from different faith communities around the world, as well as different minority and majority communities in Turkey as well. And as such, it is not only a monument that embodies all of these different dimensions, but also kind of shows us some of these contestations, ongoing contestations throughout, let's say, Turkish history in the recent history, but also if you think of it in a longer version of it, and for almost like a millennia and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed something surprising in the Kati Merini piece you wrote, that Erdogan was not in the convert Hagia Sophia camp for at least his first decade or so in power, but instead he played off his deputy prime minister, Bülent Arınç, you write, who called for the conversion, among others. Why do you think that is or was? What might Erdogan have sought to gain by taking that position, which would appear to go against his conservative base and Islamist roots?
But we have to think of Erdogan as, we should never underestimate Erdogan's ability to strategize for the long term. Erdogan, before 2002, had a different political persona than what he became once he came to power in 2002. And his policies between 2002 and 2011 are significantly different than what happened afterwards as well. So on the one hand, when he was first the prime minister and then the president, he was not as vocal on Hagia Sophia. He used a very strategic tactic of ambiguity about his position, while at the same time, a very strong voice within his party, Bülent Arınç, was completely open, and he promoted the conversions of other two Hagia Sophias, one in Nicaea and one in Trabzon, back into functioning mosques after they had served as museums for decades. So at the one hand, while Erdogan kept somewhat silent about his position on Hagia Sophia, his voter base had never really had a question about his party's ambition, because it was still very loudly voiced by Bülent Arınç. Now, on the other side of the coin, maybe others in the world may not have noticed this, that Erdogan's rhetoric between 2002 and 2011, his silence on Hagia Sophia may have served to keep his balance between his Western allies and later with Russia too. So it is kind of like a very complicated strategic game that Erdogan has to both keep his voters happy within Turkey, but also needs to keep his balance with the international world. And I would argue he actually managed to do this very successfully.
Well, yeah, it wasn't until last year, just before the March local elections, that Erdogan said he could make Hagia Sophia a mosque, which most saw as a ploy to get votes in those elections. Yet the AKP lost Hagia Sophia and Istanbul, as well as Ankara and several other major cities, to the main opposition CHP. So if it were an election ploy, it seems strange that Erdogan would be trotting out convert Hagia Sophia again today, since number one, the ploy failed, but number two, Turkey has no vote scheduled for more than 3 years. So what's your view? Is this largely a distraction from Turkey's troubles today?
There are multiple different variables in this equation, I believe. Mm-hmm. One of them is Erdogan is going through a very complicated period, one that has a lot of problems both for himself and for Turkey. Turkish economy is in a terrible, terrible state, and that has consequences for Erdogan's ruling of the country. I have been looking at the events, how they unfolded over the last month or so, since his appearance in Hagia Sophia, or as part of the conquest ceremonies on the 29th of May, when he appeared on a giant screen virtually when an imam was reciting Quranic verses within Hagia Sophia. That was a very strong symbolic presence. That received a very positive, from Erdogan's perspective, of course, support from his voter base, which he had not under his belt at that moment in time. So I am thinking maybe that one point of his performance in the conquest ceremonies may have been a defining role in deciding that this may be the time to be proactive on reconverting Hagia Sophia into a mosque. Again, this is kind of like a complicated issue because it's a silver bullet. You can only do this once. And Hagia Sophia has a lot of political power. The discourse of it can help you in politics. But once you convert it back into a mosque, this is kind of like a single moment in time that defines where you stand. So Erdogan might be really in need of this at this time in his political career, at this moment in Turkish history. He may also be thinking of this as his legacy project, which he may have planned for decades and were waiting for the right time to enact.
Speaking of which, now we get to the case before the Council of State, which again is set to decide on the matter tomorrow, tomorrow, Thursday, July 2nd. 15 years ago, this same court rejected a similar plea to turn Hagia Sophia into a mosque. But last year, the court ruled in favor of revoking the museum status of Istanbul's millennium-old Kora Church, which is now set to be turned back into a mosque. In addition, as you mentioned, the AKP has already reconverted Hagia Sophia churches in İznik and Trabzon into mosques after they had served as museums. So I wonder, what's your expectation about this decision tomorrow? Do you think Turkish Islamists will finally get their wish?
Certainly, the case with the Kora Church sets a legal precedent, and a very important legal precedent, because the museumification process of Kariye Museum Kora Mosque was almost an mirror image of what Hagia Sophia went through. So Hagia Sophia was turned into a museum by a decree by the Council of Ministers. And Atatürk's signature is on that decree. The same Council of Ministers also issued a decree about a decade later to turn the Kora Church Danmark into a museum. So the two cases from a legal standpoint are identical. And the court last year in November decided to rebuke the decree by the Council of Ministers for Kora. So it sets a very worrisome precedent. As for the outcome of the case, I do not know, honestly, what will come out. It is very hard to imagine in a country like Turkey, where the rule of law has been undermined so severely over the last years, that any court would be, you know, giving a decision freely, to say so. So I do not know what will come up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then let's say it's tomorrow and the Council of State has decided that Hagia Sophia will be turned back into a mosque. We have some idea how Erdogan and Islamists are likely to respond, triumphantly, I assume. But I wonder how you see Turkey's educated urban progressives responding to such a shift. Might this kind of mean that their fears of Turkey becoming sort of a Iran-like Islamic state are being realized?
Well, let me rephrase this. I think we're past that point. I think the Turkish educated seculars in the country are almost a threatened minority, if you think about what they have been through over the last 5 years or so.
And surely a lot of them have left since the failed coup in 2016. Sorry.
Exactly. In terms of, you know, thinking about Turkey, I always think of an authoritarian state, not necessarily only an Islamic one. So, you know, within an authoritarian state, how you can speak about issues is very limited. At the moment, you know, there are significant problems with freedom for media outlets. There are significant problems for freedom of speech. In such an environment, it is very hard, if not impossible, to voice your opinion if it's in the opposition. And this is not just for heritage protection, but, you know, you can be an environmentalist, you can be an LGBTQ advocate, you can be an advocate for university professors. Either way, your options for raising your opinion is limited. However, this does not mean that those people would be, you know, would take this decision as it comes. It's just that there are very few outlets left to, you know.
But I guess you're saying in some way it would kind of fit in with the broader picture of what's already been happening. So maybe there wouldn't be that great of a shock.
I think in large Turkey is there that it wouldn't be that much of a shock.
I mean, one thing, as Erdogan himself pointed out last week, the Blue Mosque, which of course sits very close to Hagia Sophia, has for a long time been both mosque and tourist attraction. It just closes for a half hour or so at prayer times, and other times it's generally open to tourists. Couldn't Hagia Sophia be something like that?
Well, we have to make a distinction on the monuments. The distinction is not just on their age, but on the specific kind of symbolic value of each monument. It is true for any, you know, heritage monument that there, if it's, you know, used on a daily basis, there are risks that we have to consider. You know, this can be true for sacred monuments as well as many others. But at the same time, it's not just the fact that Hagia Sophia is being opened for Islamic worship, but what would that mean in terms of future protection of the monument? I am thinking about the two precedent cases in Trabzon and İznik Hagia Sophia's. After the monument was taken from the Ministry of Culture and given to the General Directorate of Pious Foundations, the whole infrastructure that protects these two Hagia Sophia's were changed. And by that, I mean, you know, when there are museums, there are people who are specifically trained to look after those monuments as they are, you know, visited by crowds. They check for humidity, they check for the status of the overall architecture, so on and so forth. Both in İznik and Trabzon, we have seen over the last decade significant problems with the protection of the monuments once they were taken out of the Ministry of Culture. In the case of Hagia Sophia, because it is such an important symbolic monument with emotional connections from multiple faith societies, the reopening it for Islamic worship is a move that clearly signifies the domination of one faith group over all others. And as such, it's not just a physical protection of the monument, but more what the monument means for us as, you know, world citizens, what the monument means for Istanbul, what the monument means for Turkey, and whether or not that move signifies something much larger than just active worship in it. And as for that, I was following the statements by the Ecumenical Patriarch as well as the Archbishop of the Greek Orthodox Diocese in America, both of whom highlighted that this monument in its museum state promotes pluralism, promotes understanding, promotes peace building. However, this kind of move to reopen it as a mosque would put it into a territory of contestation. And that is not something we would want for such beautiful monuments that have been with us for over a millennia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patriarch Bartholomew, just this week, he's the head of the Orthodox Christian Church and based in Istanbul, said that converting Hagia Sophia into mosque would sow division between Muslims and Christians at a time when people need to come together. Sounds like you kind of agree with that sentiment. Now for a minute, let's go the other way. Erdogan has said he will abide by the decision, whatever it is. Let's say it's 24 hours from now, and the court has decided not to reconvert Hagia Sophia into a mosque. How would you expect Erdogan and Turkish officials, as well as Turkish Islamists, to respond to this? Might they drop the issue? What would happen?
Erdogan is a strong leader. He will, if the court decides not to convert Hagia Sophia, he will also use that statement to follow where he wants to go. He may say, I told you we will do whatever the court decides. Hagia Sophia stays as a museum. Or he may say the alternative route. The court has decided this way, but there are other ways of, challenging the decree by the Council of Ministers, and I'm planning to do this. So either way, Erdogan in this, you know, strong authoritarianism mood, state can decide whichever way he wants to go, and he has a way of convincing the crowd that the way he chose is the best way to go. So we will see.
From what you said before, it almost sounds like it's more advantageous for him if it's not converted into a mosque, because he still has this kind of hobby horse, this cause to rally his base around, yeah?
To a certain extent, I keep on thinking that. But on the other hand, I keep on thinking, what if this is his legacy project? So we will have to wait and see on that.
Okay. Moving beyond. Yeah, sorry.
It's very hard to know, you know, what goes on in anybody's mind, including Erdogan's. So we'll see.
Sure. You have also studied minority heritage sites in Turkey beyond Hagia Sophia. I wonder what, if any, you might tell us that we might be concerned about, might be under threat in some way, sites or structures that represent something particularly resonant for that community, be it Armenians, Greeks, Jews, Alevis, whoever. Please let me know.
Of course, think about Turkey and Turkey's past. There has been two important horizons in, if you think about the whole building history of Turkey. Once in 1915 with the Armenian genocide, the Armenian population has decreased significantly all across Turkey. And with the population exchange with Turkey in 1924, the Greek Orthodox Christian population has decreased significantly across Turkey, and actually except for Istanbul, almost diminished. Once these populations were no longer there, their monuments were still in Turkey. And there are, you know, Armenian and Greek Orthodox and Assyrian churches all across the country. Now, there has been a lot of problems with their preservation because it was not a priority of the Turkish state to preserve these monuments and save the memory of the people long gone from this land. One of the monuments that I have studied in some depth, and I have been very amazed by the restoration project, is a church in the old city of Diyarbakir, Surp Giragos, which is a historical Armenian church. The church was restored in early 2010s with the funds that were raised by the members of the Armenian community once living in Diyarbakir, almost all of whom are now living in Istanbul and, you know, globally dispersed. And with the invitation and help of the local Prokurdish HDP municipality, they decided to restore and reopen this church for liturgy, for active worship. The restoration project itself received a Europa Nostra prize. It is an immaculately well done restoration. At the same time, the community started inviting Armenian clergy to come and have a liturgy within the church. Not all the time, but several times per year. But one of the outcomes of that project was very interesting to me, and I am a firm believer that heritage can be used for contestation, but it can also be a way of peace building between communities, and that's exactly what happened. Once the church started opening its doors, it became kind of like a hub for the community in Diyarbakir, a hub for other Armenians across the country, as well as globally dispersed Armenians, to come together with Muslims, other Christian communities, Kurds within the church. And it kind of started a very important process of healing for multiple communities. And it was a very emotional moment when the church actually, at the opening ceremony, the HDP mayor said, who is of Kurdish origin himself, said, "We will not repeat the atrocities that our grandfathers did." And that kind of was a start of peace building in the region, and a very hopeful one. In 2015, the whole area became a literal war zone. There was a lot of armed conflict going on, and the old town of Diyarbakir is still not revived back into its former normalized life. But that was kind of like the end of that project. I would wish to see more projects like these across Turkey to kind of remember the past in certain ways, acknowledge the pain, but reformulate a way in which we can promote pluralism. And so heritage sites in Turkey have that potential. The current system in which they are, utilized is not necessarily the best way of building pluralism in Turkey and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a prime example of this.
Yes, Sirpgirgos was severely damaged, I believe, in 2015-2016 conflict between the government and PKK youth were kind of lodged in central Diyarbakir and Sur. But I believe the state has said just last year that they're going to try to rebuild it again. So hopefully we will see what happens with that. But it's interesting that you say, despite the fact that there are not very many Armenians remain in the Diyarbakir area, that it still served to bring the community together, despite that fact.
But then again, we have to rethink about communities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are living in pre-COVID-19, we used to live in a very mobilized global world. That's not necessarily the case for the last 6 months, but communities are, they have larger presences than the, cities, towns, villages that we used to define ourselves with in the last century. So I think that is an important issue when we're thinking about, especially like in countries like Turkey, where you have heritage that has symbolic value for globally dispersed communities who are no longer part of that nation state, but have emotional connections to the sites that their ancestors once worshipped and lived in.
Which, of course, applies as well to Hagia Sophia. Before I let you go, this seems like a great time to be writing a book on Hagia Sophia. Can I ask, when do you hope to publish it? When can we expect to see it?
Within the next year, I hope. And okay. I will post it.
Okay, great. Best of luck on that. Dr. Tuba Tanieri Erdemir of the University of Pittsburgh. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
You can follow Ahval News Online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.